Well, there's concern today that the federal government's proposed changes to unemployment benefits will be close to unworkable in rural Australia. The government has unveiled a $5 billion plan to get more people into work. It includes things like a subsidy to encourage businesses to hire the long-term unemployed. And there's also a proposal for tougher rules around eligibility for the dole that would require those on welfare to apply for 40 jobs a month. Bill Mitchell is Professor of Economics and the Director of the Centre of Full Employment and Equity. That's at the University of Newcastle. Hi, Bill.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thanks. Jill Briggs is also with me from Rural Training Initiatives. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Cameron.
Now, you're based in the northeast of Victoria. What's the employment situation like there?
Look, it's probably sit on the ground up here for people who might be unskilled or moving into rural industries. So I can't imagine how an unemployed person would find 40 jobs to apply for in the northeast of Victoria.
What, there's just not that many advertised each month?
Well, I mean, my reading is that there wouldn't be that many, that there wouldn't be, if you've got a number of unemployed people, I can't imagine that there would be enough jobs for people to be actually applying for 40 a month. It seems like the numbers wouldn't add up from my perspective.
Bill, what do you think? The obligation to apply for 40 jobs a month, is it workable in rural Australia?
No, it's totally unworkable in both rural Australia, regional Australia, and also capital cities. It's a nasty, pernicious political stunt that can't possibly work to enhance the prosperity of the unemployed.
Now, what are the consequences of it in rural Australia?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, the problem is a lack of jobs overall, relative to those who want them. That's indisputable. That's what the evidence tells us. And so what you're doing then is, attacking the policy, attacks those who are the victims of that shortage of jobs and accuses them of not being, searching hard enough, not having the right attitude, not showing enough endeavour. And so then they have these ridiculous activity tests, 40 jobs in a month applications, etc. And what that means is that small businesses in regional Australia are going to be bombarded with applications, and moreover, they're not going to deal with them. They throw them in the bin mostly, and so the unemployed person, they're human, and so they start to say, well, gee, develop a sense of rejection. They don't get replies to their applications. If they do score an interview, they have a very high probability of not getting the job because there's so many people queuing up for them. And so their sense of self-esteem and confidence falls, and that's counterproductive. Being unemployed on below poverty line income support is already hard enough, but this just puts the nail into it.
On Twitter, Gabrielle Chan, who writes a Bushmail blog, points out that there's an average of about 10 job ads a month, and that's being generous in the local classified site for a shire of a population of 3,500. Bill, you've looked at a lot of jurisdictions around the country. Where are some of the most extreme areas that you've come across where there just are not jobs on offer?
Well, in many of the regional towns, and especially the smaller towns, there's very few jobs, particularly in low-skilled areas now. The local unemployed are trapped by high housing prices elsewhere from moving. Even in capital cities, areas, like in northern, Salisbury up in north of Adelaide, in Dandenong in Victoria, in Bankstown, those sort of western suburbs of Sydney, these have very high ratios of, that is number of unemployed persons per job vacancy. It's the national rate's around 5 to 7, depending how you count it. That's, 5 to 7 people lining up for every job. But in regional areas, it's much higher than that. That, unemployment rates in some of the regional areas are up around 20%.
Jill, would a requirement like this, do you think it would have any consequence on the movement of the young population in particular, maybe a drift towards the cities?
Look, that might be one of the outcomes of this. I don't think that's necessarily a positive thing for rural communities. to be putting an impost on young people to move out of their support network. My concern around this is that it appears to have been not particularly well thought through. I'm wondering whether good conversations were had with rural people about this. There's concern about if you need to attend interviews. How do you do that? How do you attend interviews when you're already on a reduced income? If you're a young person who's living in regional and rural Australia, and yes, there might be a sense that people might find that they might have the appearance that it's easier to access employment in the city, but then they lose their support network. So I think 40 a month is absolutely undoable.
Liz Pearson has just got in touch with us on Twitter at RNBushTally, saying that they need a reliable person on their farm to do a range of jobs, and they would prefer someone over 50. The point Liz raises there, I guess, is that there are jobs in agriculture. If people were prompted to look a little harder, there is a possibility, isn't there, that Jill, that maybe more would become employed in agriculture, would find work in agriculture?
Look, I think there are jobs out here. I don't think there are the number that is being indicated by this new idea of 40 a month. I think there are businesses out here that would be looking for skilled people. I don't think that we would see ourselves out here in rural and regional Australia as the unskilled capital. And I don't think we are. I think we're a highly skilled workforce out here. So there's some lines around skilled and unskilled. But yeah, I'm sure there are jobs out in rural Australia, but I just think that whole concept of asking rural people to be applying for 40 jobs a month, there are not those sorts of numbers out here.
That was only one component of what was unveiled yesterday. There's also incentives for businesses, employers, to look to the long-term unemployed. Now, you run a training business. How effective do you think that would be?
Look, I haven't read that part of the information. My experience from a while ago is that training doesn't necessarily add value for people who are unemployed. That's my experience from a professional perspective. But I think that there's opportunity for people to skill themselves up. There's no doubt about that.
Mm. Yeah. So what sort of training do you focus on?
Oh, I do leadership stuff at a national level for various primary industries across Australia. Yeah, so that's my passion.
So yeah. Working with people who are fairly employable as it
yes,
is.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Bill, what do you make of the incentives to employ people who have been out of work for a long time?
Well, look, we've had these sort of incentives for years, from the basic inception of the job network in the late 1990s. Billions of dollars have gone into the job network, the privatised Commonwealth Employment Service, and we've still got this problem. And the fundamental research evidence, and that's the area of, you know, where I operate as a researcher, that both within Australia and in international economies, you know, all of the major advanced economies, is that training is only really effective, that is job-type training rather than general training, you know, university education or something like that. Job-specific training is only effective in a paid work environment, and if you try to do it outside a paid work environment, it doesn't really add up. And the second thing that the research evidence is very clear on, and that is that so-called job subsidies, where you pay a firm some amount of money to employ a person, basically do not lead to long-term attachments and long-term sustainable employment for the person. That the firms tend to cherry-pick and then you know, they'll take a short-term subsidy, 3 months, 6 months, whatever the program is, and then they sack the person and then line up for another subsidy. It doesn't increase employment prospects, and it's a waste of time, basically.
The Employment Minister, Senator Erica Betts, had pointed out, acknowledged, I guess, that there's some potentially valid criticisms in the program, but makes the point that there's an absence of alternatives at the moment, and the government feels it needs to do something to get more people into work. What is a better approach?
Well, ask yourself what the problem is, and the problem is a lack of jobs. People, you know, the overwhelming majority of people who are unemployed tell surveys continually that if there's a job available, they'll take it. You know, and that dismisses the idea that these are bludgers who are looking for an easy life on below poverty line income support. So the problem is a lack of jobs. And so the fundamental solution is to create work. And in regional Australia, if the private labour market is relatively thin, then that means that the government has to create work. And, you know, we've seen in the past when the government wants to increase employment, it can do so by increasing its role as a direct employer and also stimulating the economy so that there's more spending, so that the private sector has more incentive to create work through increased sales. And the minister's wrong. There is an obvious solution, and that is for the government to stop trying to reduce its deficit and to stop reducing its role as an employer and to target employment creation based on, you know, community development and environmental care services to start with. Hundreds of thousands of jobs could be created in regional Australia if they pursued that option.
Jill, Bill sees government spending as the answer. I guess that's the pump priming argument, isn't it? What would you like to see done in rural Australia to create more jobs?
Yeah, look, I hear what Bill says, and I think there needs to be some incentives provided to get people, to employ people. I totally agree with that. But just back to another issue, I think one of the things that hasn't been considered here is distance and lack of infrastructure. That in rural and regional Australia, there are huge distances for people who are unemployed to have to overcome and lack of services. So when we're talking about improving a lot of people who are currently unemployed, it feels like some of that may not have been factored into some of these decisions, and that really concerns me because it feels like it's a general one solution fits all, and it does not fit us out here.
Complex issue that I guess the factors are, as you say, quite different in the bush than they are in the city. Jill, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
No worries.
Jill Briggs, the Managing Director of Rural Training Initiatives. And Bill, my thanks to you as well. Professor Bill Mitchell is Professor of Economics and the Director of the Centre of Full Employment and Equity. That's at the University of Newcastle.